Now it's an incredible honor and privilege to introduce our speakers for this week, Dr. West and Joy Griffin. Joy is actually unable to be with us until later on this week due to the tragic loss of a friend. So if you could please be praying for her as she leads the funeral this week and is mourning and grieving with her friends. But Wes and Joy, I've known them my entire life, and I don't have enough time to share with you the tremendous impact they have had on my life and the deep spiritual formation that they have had. And I'm excited to get to share them with you all this week. Wes and Joy are co-founders of the International Leadership Institute, or ILI, as you'll hear throughout this week, to change history by equipping leaders and accelerating the spread of the gospel around the world. From a single training event in 2001, the ILI team has equipped over 200,000 men and women in more than 120 countries. ILI's unique contribution was a discovery of 8 core values of the most effective Christian leaders who are fulfilling the Great Commission around the world today. Before Dr. Wes Griffin comes this morning, we're actually going to take a moment to think about praying. That's our focus for the day. And this Sunday and the next Sunday are Worldwide Days of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. So would you turn your attention to the screens as we see a movie about the persecuted church?
International covenants, declarations, and modern constitutions guarantees people this right. In spite of this, religious freedom is fast declining around the world. In some countries, the state takes the lead in suppressing the faithful. They impose bans on particular faiths, prohibit conversion, and restrict religious practice. In other countries, the people make their societies unfriendly to minority beliefs. Harassment, intimidation, violence, and even murder are used to silence them. According to research, 80% of all religious persecution is against Christians. This makes Christians the most persecuted religious group in the world. Godfrey Yogaraja, the executive director of the World Evangelical Alliance Religious Liberty Commission, states that more than 100 million Christians face persecution daily for their faith in Jesus Christ. In countries like Eritrea, Iran, and Sudan, countless Christians languish in prison for their faith. In Pakistan, India, and Nepal, Christians face discrimination and marginalization because of their faith. In Sri Lanka, pastors are beaten and harassed for their faith. In places like Iraq, Syria, and Nigeria, Christian families live in constant fear of violence and death. As fellow Christians, we cannot keep silent. We cannot forget their plight. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:3 to remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Today, Christians around the world are busy helping the needy, serving the poor, feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, and aiding the sick. This is wonderful, but can we today take a moment and think of those who face persecution because of their faith? They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. This November, you have an opportunity to stand with them, to be one with them, and to pray for them.
Good morning, Asbury University. Velma and Matthew, come join me right here. I want to introduce to you Velma Tim from Cameroon. She is a leader of leaders whom I've seen God use powerfully, particularly among this emerging generation of young leaders around the world. She's actually a student over at Asbury Seminary. I also want you to welcome Matthew Ayuba from Northern Nigeria, who happened to be in the USA at this particular time. And I said he was attending an event, and I said, Matthew, any chance you could join us for the week at Asbury University? These are two of ILI's team members, and I want you to give a big Asbury welcome to the two of them this morning. Thank you, guys. Thank you. They'll be joining me in just a few minutes and be a part of our service this morning. You'll look forward to hearing a little bit more from them. Well, Asbury, good morning. I am so glad to be here. I know you hear speakers from time to time stand here in this very special place and say that to you. Longer than I'd like to admit, I was a part of the Asbury community as well. In fact, walking across this morning, coming across from Asbury Inn, I stopped and stood on a place right where I personally encountered God for the Great Commission. I had been in a class, completely unaware that that day in a lecture, God was going to choose to speak to my life and redirect it. I didn't know that I was going to hear that day from J.T. Siemens filling in as a guest lecturer, that there are times and seasons when God moves on the face of the earth and He opens doors, and those doors are open for a season. And when God opens those doors, thank you, that He then calls to men and women to respond in those moments and walk through the doors because God is at work and He's looking for the man or the woman who says, yes, I'll join you. And I walked out of a lecture hall, walked right out into the quadrant over there, looked into that clear blue Kentucky sky that you've often seen, and I said something to God that day that I had said before, but I needed to update that commitment and make it fresh in my life. And I said, God, wherever, whenever, if it's you, Joy and I and our kids were available. I'd prayed that prayer before, but it was just like in that moment God was saying, will you one up for me? And it was interesting because I kept coming across the seminary campus, then the college. I'm walking over, I'm about to walk into Hughes Auditorium, and I have my friends Velma and Matthew are with me. And as I come across there, I remember a bench that used to be out there. It's not sitting there right now. I remember that, I won't tell you the whole story, but there had been from that moment in that one day when God said, say yes to me, and I said yes again, that God began a whole string of things to happen in our life that I could literally document lead me to standing here on your Great Commission week. But as I came across, I remember there was a bench right out there, and I sat down on that bench one day. With our bags packed, to say, God, before our family takes this leap of faith, moves to another part of the world, fulfills the missionary call we believe you've placed in our life, Lord, you don't have to say another word to me, but I wonder if there's something you do want to say. And sitting right outside this auditorium, I did one of those things, you know, you just open your Bible. I just opened it, and it opened to a scripture, and it was in the Old Testament. And I'm just going to paraphrase the verse for you. He said, if you will obey me, I will bless you, and I will bless your generations that even will follow. Now, I had people that were telling me that it's crazy to respond to God's call for the Great Commission. I had people saying to me that this idea of just being radically obedient is not the kind of thing that is sane people will do. I mean, I had at that time, I had a job, I had a calling, I had a wife, I had kids, and all I knew, though, is that God had just shown up in my life in this place called Asbury and spoken to us and said, right now, I'm asking you to call unto me, and I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you have never seen. Very similar, that's Jeremiah 33:3, very similar to the scripture verse that was read earlier to us when it says to ask of God, and He will open and show things. I stood right there and said, God, once again, would you just show me what you're asking and we'll do it. This morning in this service, today, we want to focus on praying. And I'm going to speak a little bit, and then I'm going to talk to Matthew and Velma and let them speak a little bit and speak into our lives. And then today, I want to invite us to come and to pray. And to pray with hearts open to God, saying, God, hear our prayers, use our prayers, and here's why. And here's why I chose to tell you that opening story that I didn't expect my emotions to come up so strong in. I tell you that because right now, Asbury University, we're in one of the most unique moments that history has ever defined. We're in a moment of an openness to the window of the gospel unlike anything the world has ever seen. You're the generation alive right now with opportunities right there at your fingertips in which the Spirit of God is doing things on the face of earth, which historians will one day write about and speak about, that we were the chosen generation to live in a day and age. I tell you right now, Acts chapter 2 is coming true. We are seeing the Holy Spirit poured out. The old are dreaming dreams. The young are seeing vision. And everyone who's calling on the name of the Lord, they are being saved. And God is moving in power and might in incredible and moving ways. But I'll tell you this, every significant movement of God first begins by the body of Christ going to a new place in prayer. Let me say that again. Every significant new movement of God comes about first, or comes out when, first of all, people have gone to a new place in prayer. So at Great Commission Congress Week, the idea to come the first day and to focus on prayer is, I think, exactly what we need to do today. But I want to tell you that we don't just need quiet prayers, folding our hands and saying, oh, Lord, send your help. Lord, send your mercy, send your goodness. We need those kind of words, but we need them from a deeper place. We need them from the kind of place that Pete Gregg experienced in 1999 when he gathered with a group of people in a warehouse on the south coast of England. At that time, he understood that prayer is pretty much the heart of the Christian life. It's that ongoing communication we have with God. And he raised the group of them that gathered in that warehouse realized something else, that when it came to prayer, they were really, really bad at it. And so they opened up this warehouse and began to pray. And surprisingly, young people, students, began to come to pray. They began to come at all different types of hours. They'd come at night. They would come in the day. They would pray with words. They would pray with graffiti. They would pray with weird music. And God, he says, seemed to like it a lot. The more people began to come. Even atheists began to come into the prayer room, and atheists began to say they could feel the presence of God there. Unbelievers were coming into the presence of God because people were simply gathering and praying. They didn't know how to do it really well, but they were doing it. And in Pete Gregg's word, then one day God sneezed. God sneezed. And when he sneezed, at that point, Greg himself was working on just trying to write some things down. Someone had said, Greg, can you write the vision down? And so he scribbled on the wall words that Jesus was speaking into him. And I want to read you some of those words. He says this, the vision is Jesus. Obsessively, dangerously, undeniably, Jesus. He then said, the vision is an army of young people. Let me just pause right there. He saw an army of young people. I was in Matthew Ayuba's country. I was in the south part where God is moving in some powerful ways. I told him yesterday, there is a building there, a camp meeting building. I have been there, seen it with my own eyes. God is moving so much in Nigeria, in the south. That's the disclaimer, in the south. This building is 1 mile long by 1.5 mile wide. Did you hear what I said? Now, I know you can't imagine that. Ayuba, stand up. Is it true? He's seen it too, okay? Ayuba, come right quick, real fast. Okay, if you have a building that is 1 mile long by 0.5 mile wide, under roof, picture Super Walmart, no walls, just the structural steel, video screens throughout it, all right? When they give the altar invitation and you're in the back, what do you have to do to get to the altar?
Sometimes you step out, we get a bus to take you to the altar.
Hallelujah, that's a movement of God, my friends. All right? So when I say to you that we are standing in an age of the Spirit of God movement, can you imagine having to go out and catch a bus to get to the altar? But that is what happened. We had an ILI training conference at this location. That's why I was there and saw it. There were 400 students came from 40 universities. We were giving them our History Makers track of training to equipping emerging young leaders. When I got there, there were older leaders that were just serving the younger leaders, but they looked nervous to me, nervous. And so they're in their nervousness. I said to my friend, Ezekiel, tell me, the young leaders look nervous. He said, they're very nervous. I said, why? He said, because the overseer, the whole owner of the whole movement, went off and sought God, and God gave him a vision. He called all the pastors, the older pastors together, and said, here's the vision. This is what he told them. I have raised up, thus says the Lord, I am raising up a young generation of leaders, older leaders, prove yourselves worthy of mentoring them or get out of the way, for they will change the world. Ooh, then I got nervous. Right? Because if that's what's happening, P. Greg said the vision is an army of young people. He said they are mobile like the wind. They belong to the nations. They need no passport. These are people who write their addresses in pencil. They are free yet dying. They are slaves of the hurting, the dying, and the dirty. What's the vision? It's a vision of holiness that will hurt the eyes. It is to make children laugh, but adults angry. It's those who will give up the game of minimum integrity in order to reach for the very stars. It scorns the good and strains for the absolute best. It's dangerously pure. He goes on and down, says many other things. He says, do you hear the sound of the underground? Do you hear the whisper of history in the making? Foundations are shaking. Revolutionaries are dreaming. Mystery is whispering. Conspiracy of breathing. This is the sound of an underground movement of students and young leaders around the world that I am raising up to change it. Hallelujah. My friends, this is the generation we are in. Pete Gregg and the others began to just pray and to pray and to pray, and it launched the 24/7 prayer movement. You can read about it in Red Moon Rising. That movement has continued all over the world, encompassing more than 100 nations. Millions and millions of people are praying right now, 24/7, just as you did last week, leading us up into this time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, calling out and asking unto the Lord, asking that the lost would be reached, the hurting would be served, asking that them and others would encounter the absolute truth of the reality of the living God. Carol Barth said, to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of this world. And my friends, right now we have a world in great disorder, and we need to clasp our hands and call out to God and move upon Him. Velma Tim, come and join me right here for a minute. I want to talk to you. You're a leader from Africa, from Cameroon. You speak English. You speak French. You speak your local language. God called to you as a young woman, and God's call, right, in your culture, your place, it wasn't common for women to get called to go to the front lines and serve, and God called you. How did that call come?
When God called me as a young woman, there were just several ways He had been speaking to me and trying to get my attention. But being a young person, having your own plans and having your own agenda, I didn't want to listen. But one of the most strategic things that happened was one day while I was in my friend's house visiting, I was sleeping in her sister's room. Then I heard somebody call my name in my sleep. So I jumped up and I went to her room. I was like, Sally, did somebody call me? She said, no. I said, is Auntie Maggie back? She said, no. So I went back to sleep. Then I heard my name again, Velma. Like, it was loud. It was audible. So I got up, I was like, please, people, stop joking with me. Like, who is calling me? And they were like, nobody's calling you. And since I knew God had been speaking to me, they were like, maybe God is calling you. I was like, no, God is not calling me. So,
like, you mean like God in an audible voice calling you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I went back to sleep, and then I heard my name again the third time. So I was like, okay, God, what do you want? Like, you know when He's trying to get your attention and you want to do your own things? So that was where I was, and He told me, get up and read Jeremiah 1. I was like, okay, I'll read it in the morning, and with a loud, authoritative voice, I thought it was going to kill me. I was like, get up and read it now. So I was afraid, and I got up. I was like, okay, God, I read it. I was like, He said, do not say I'm too young, do not say I'm too small. All the excuses we give, I've called you as a prophet to the nations, and I was like, okay, God, I've read it. Thank you. Close my Bible. Can I sleep?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Velma, when God calls, that call is always connected to something we have seen that is touching our hearts deeply. What had you seen that was touching you?
I think I'd watched the young people in so much devastation. I'd seen young people, not only in my country, but like all over the world. When you watch on TV, most of the sex slaves are young people. Most of those who were fighting in wars were young people. Most, because I've been listening to, watching like Emma Liberia, most of those who were recruited into wars were young people. It's almost like the enemy targets the younger generation to be able to get them enslaved and trap them in. And I knew something had to be done, but I didn't want to be the one to do it. So I'd been praying and I was like, God, you have to do something. You have to save this generation. Just imagine if all the young people, if the enemy takes charge of the young adults and the young people of a generation, he kills that generation. Ooh. There's no future for the generation. So that was
You saw that need, but God also gave you a vision of what this present generation of young leaders could do in the world right now. What did you see?
What I saw was an army of young men and women who could not be stopped. They were keeping their ranks and they were going forcefully against the enemy. And the more they pushed, the more they advanced, the more the enemy pushed back. The more they advanced, the more the enemy pushed back. And I know there are some of you sitting right here and you are part of that army. Because it wasn't like an army of just a specific color or a specific nation or a specific, but they were young men and young women from every age, from every nation, from every tribe, from every tongue that God was calling and God was raising and equipping. They were history makers. They were men and women who were meant to change their world, who were meant to change their society. And what is amazing is that lots of them were university students. Wow. And to me, a confirmation was I've seen movements birth out of universities much more than in any other places. So I think there is just something about a generation coming together in one place that becomes so strategic for God to be able to do something strategic through them.
May the Lord do it here this week. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Vilma. Thank you. So my friends, persecution is real, and it's a dark force, and it's impacting this world. And the way you come against darkness, the first thing you do in the body of Christ is we come and pray. So we're going to stop now the messaging part of the thing and move us now to pray. We've got a few minutes here left. We tried to intentionally not run us up to the end of the hour so that we actually in this auditorium today would have some minutes to intercede and to pray. And I want us to come and I want us to do it quickly. I want it to do it with our hearts. I want it to do it with great passion. I don't know what your tradition is for praying in a moment like this, but I hope you've sensed a little bit of urgency today. I want to ask you to come and to pray on behalf of the lost, the needs, and the hurting. I want to ask you to pray for this man's family that lost a loved one. I want you to pray for those around the world who don't yet know the Lord. I want you to pray for this army of God. I'm going to give some quick assignments, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you some quick assignments, and then I'm going to ask you all to step to jump to your feet, and we're just going to begin to pray together out loud, all at the same time, saying, God, come on and move among us. So all the freshmen here, I want you to fix into your mind everything on our side of the world, from the top of Canada to the bottom of Argentina. Freshmen, you're going to pray for the Americas. For all of the sophomores, I'm going to move you over east. I'm going to have you praying for Europe and for all of Africa. You have a big assignment. We need to re-evangelize Europe, and God is moving powerfully in Africa. That will be the sophomores. For the juniors, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to pray for Asia, all of Asia, Eurasia, South Asia, Asia Pacific, the whole thing. And to the seniors, I'm calling you to go right into the throat of the devil, and I'm giving you the Middle East and all of the Arabic-speaking world, including all the refugees and all the things that are happening right now because of ISIS and ISIL and Boko Haram and all that parts of the world. I'm calling on you, seniors. You've been here longer to ask you to pray with urgency and fervency, and let's call out to God. I'm going to ask Velma to come and help us with the first part, Matthew then to pray, and I will close. And so we are going to have to go quick. It's 10:41, my friends. I know when chapel ends. I know when you start checking out in your head. I'm stopping now and say, I'm not preaching more because I want you to engage right now in spiritual warfare. I want you to engage right now in intercession before God. I want you to forget who you are and where you are. I want you to go before the throne of God. I want you to do it any way that makes sense to you. You can stand where you are. You can come to this altar. If you brought a flag and you want to come grab the flag, if you want to kneel at a flag, you can do it however you want to do it. But I want right now for us to begin to intercede for this whole world. Asbury, stand up to your feet. Stand now. And I'm going to ask Velma to lead the opening prayer. And when she starts and going praying, no one be silent. Let's call out to God. Ask Him to fill us with a passion. Ask Him to lead us before the throne. Velma, lead us.
Like a woman who is pregnant and in the labor room about to give birth, it's a state of emergency. And I believe we are now in a state of emergency. And I want you to cry out like you are in travail. Whatever area you're praying for, I want you to cry out like you're in travail. I want you to ask God, God, intervene. Think of the young people, you know, some of your friends, you know, who are even on drugs. Some of the nations you've heard about. I want you to cry out and like, God, would you show up? Would you step out? Would you do something that you alone can do as God? So can we all raise our voices and pray in Jesus' name? Seigneur, nous te disons merci ce matin. Merci pour ta bonté, Seigneur.
Lord God.
Merci pour ta grâce éternelle.
Lord God, we call out to you,
Lord. Merci pour ta fidélité, Seigneur. Nous venons devant toi ce matin,
we
Seigneur.
We call out to you, God.
Et nous prions pour les nations éternelles des amis. Nous demandons éternelles des amis, éternel, que ton règne vienne, que ton royaume soit établi, Seigneur, sur les nations de la terre, au nom de Jésus-Christ. Que ton règne vienne, Seigneur. Que ton règne vienne dans les nations. Que ton règne vienne, Seigneur. Nous venons devant de toi, Seigneur. Nous demandons éternelles des amis que tu établis ton règne. Éternel des armées, établis ton règne, Seigneur, au milieu de jeunes, Seigneur, au milieu des adultes, Seigneur, au milieu de jeunes adultes, au nom de Jésus-Christ. Nous prions ce matin, éternel des armées. Oh, que ta puissance, Seigneur, tombe sur nous, éternel des armées. Que tu déverses sur nous un esprit de prière de nouveau, éternel des armées. Déverse un nouvel esprit de prière au nom puissant de Jésus-Christ, Seigneur. Nous prions, mon Dieu, mon roi, éternel des armées. Que ton règne vienne au nom puissant de Jésus-Christ.
Hallelujah. Lord, I want to ask you, Asbury, in the 24/7 prayer movement around the world, as I get to see they move to a new place, everyone in the room just says, come on, Lord. Can you do that here? 1, 2, 3. Come on,
Lord.
Lord, come on. Again. Come on,
Lord.
We come. We ask God. We pray, Matthew, pray for the persecuted world.
If you really love the Lord, the Bible says we love the Lord with all our hearts and with all our mind.
God.
You pour your hearts today to God. I just want you to pour that heart before Him. Just pour out your heart. Pour out your heart. We've heard prayers in different languages today. I'm going to pray in the language that I live in northern Nigeria. And I want you to open your heart and just pray towards that. Some of you are already standing by the altar. That is very, very good. Come and grab a flower. Come and pray for a nation. You are just out here. You don't know what it means out there. But here you have a privilege that you are going to pray for those people that you're going to probably never going to see in life. But here is a privilege you have right in your campus, right in chapel, right this week, right this moment. Can you just pour your heart this morning and begin to pray as you raise your heart and raise your voice and raise your mind and lift to God. Allah babu wanda za iya kwatanta shi da kai. Kai ne Allah, kai ne sarki, kai ne farko, kai ne karshe, kai ne kowa, kai ne komi, kai ke yi, kai ke hanawa, kai ke ginawa, kai ke kasawa, kai ne ke bada wuri, kai ke taimako. Ubangiji kai ne Allah, babu wani da muka sani da yafi ka. Kai ne mai ceton mu. Mun zo nan muna kira domin mun san da cewa kana nan, mun san ikon ka tabbatacce ne, mun san kai ba mai kasawa bane, mun san kai ka shirya mu, mun san kai ka taimake mu, mun san kai ke bishe mu, mun san kana tare da mu. Allah kai ne Yesu, kai ne Ubangiji, kai ne farko, kai ke tare da mu, kai ne karshe, kai ne ka san komai. Tun fil azir kai ne Ubangiji, mun gode maka domin mun san kana nan, mun san da cewa ayyukanka Ubangiji za su kasance har abada. Mun gode maka domin waɗannan da suke nan, waɗannan ƴaƴa ne daga tara su daga wurare daban-daban. Ubangiji bari maganarka da ayyukanka ta cika cikin su a cikin sunan Yesu. Mun gode maka Yesu, mun gode maka Yesu, mun gode maka Yesu, mun gode maka Yesu, mun gode maka, mun gode maka. Amen.
Say it with me. Come on, Lord.
Come on, Lord.
Come on, Lord. Move in our midst, God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We ask you, God. Yes, Lord. This week.